Greetings this morning again. This is Brother Steve with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. This morning we're going to look at another case where someone had an encounter with God. We're going to look at the story of Moses here. Exodus chapter 3, when Moses had his first encounter with God, when he was out there with his father-in-law's sheep in the wilderness. And then jumping to verse 3, and Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Here Moses saw the burning bush, and he saw that it was God, and so he hid his face because he was afraid to look on God. And then let's go back to Exodus chapter 19, and we see there verse 16. To 25, well, maybe I won't go quite that far, but it came to pass in the third day in the morning that there were thunders. Here God is coming down on Mount Sinai in front of the people. And the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." And then he goes on to warn people, warn Moses that he should make sure that nobody comes up and touches the mount, because he had warned them not to do that, so that they wouldn't die in the presence of God. But then, chapter 20, verse 18, it's 20 is where God gives the Ten Commandments, and then verse 18, after he gives the Ten Commandments, says, "And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was." And here you have, because of all the thunderings and the lightnings and the smoke and everything, the people were afraid, and they backed off, and they said to Moses, "Moses, you talk to God, and you tell us what God said, and we'll do it." And, you know, of course we know the story that they did not do it, they would not listen, and rebelled many times. But anyway, the idea here is, I don't think that was God's original intent. I think God wanted to speak to the people, as we saw there in chapter 19, Moses leads the people up to the mountain, and God wants to speak to them, but they back away. They're afraid. And you know, even so, many times, even today, we can fall into that trap of feeling like, we want to just give me a list of rules, and I'll do it. I don't want to talk to God. I don't want to do that. You know, that takes time. It takes effort. In order for them to talk to God, Moses was able to do that. But in order for them to do them, they would have needed to have kept themselves purified and free of sin. But they weren't willing to give up their sin and their lust to, in order to have that relationship with God. And so it is with us many times if we're not careful, that we would rather just, you know, listen to somebody else and have them tell us what we need to do, and not have that relationship with God, because it takes effort, it takes time, it takes a repentance and all those things that it takes to maintain that relationship with God. But Moses was a different story. He had seen God, he had tasted God, and you know, Moses wanted more. And I think so again, if we come to that place where we're willing to repent of our sins, be cleansed, and get near to God, you know, we're going to get a taste of something that we want some more of. And that's how it was with Moses here. So let's go to Moses, or Exodus chapter 33. Well, we'll start with verse 2 and 3. Here, God is saying, well, yeah, the background of the story here is or the context of it, the people had just sinned a great sin in building a golden calf and setting it up as their god. And so here God says in verse 2 of chapter 33, saying to Moses, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee." Here God is saying, I'm not going to go with you. You know, God was going to go with them, and then he's saying, I'm not going to go with you, because I'm just going to send an angel with you, because I am afraid I'm going to destroy you with my presence, because they were a stiff-necked people, they were a stubborn people. And so, but Moses, verse 12 to 23 then, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And so Moses here is begging God to go with them. He wanted to know God. He wanted God to go with him. And he said, and God said, verse 14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses says in verse 15, "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up not up hence. For when shall it be known known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, shew me thy glory." Here Moses is getting more and more of God here, and the more he sees of God, the more he wants. You know, here he is, before when he was in the wilderness, he hid his face. He didn't want to look on God. Now he's telling God that he wanted to see him. To show me your glory. And then God says in verse 19, he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand by a rock, stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." What a glorious opportunity Moses had here to see God. And, you know, again, Moses' persistence here, he wanted God to go with him. Another note about Moses, you know, when Moses was younger, I believe, when he was about 40 years old, he heard the call of God that he was to deliver his people from the slavery in Egypt. And so Moses, being a mighty man that he was, you know, says, sure, I can do that. Give me my sword. And he goes out and kills the Egyptian there. We know the story where he sees the Egyptian smiting the Israelite, and he kills him and buries him in the sand. And, of course, he had to flee and to spend 40 years in the desert. And then finally, after 40 years, Moses was in a place where God could use him, and he was finished with himself. He was not. He didn't feel like he could do it anymore. And in fact, he almost refused to go till God basically said, "You know, you're going. No other choices." And so now Moses, you know, after that, Moses is completely broken, and he is here now. I think that maybe a part of what we see here is Moses is not going to go without God. He's done with his own way. He's done trying by himself. And he wants God's presence to go with him. Now we go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 4 through 9, where we see Moses, and he goes up in the mount, and he sees God. Well, at least his backside. And he heard two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in truth and goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And then God makes a covenant with him. He said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. And so here Moses was able to see God, and God there proclaimed his goodness, his glory. And you see there, God passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. These are all attributes of God. These are all parts of who God is. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But then he says, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And so there's a little piece missing there. He says he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, but he will not clear the guilty. So something has to happen there. Somebody needs to deal with the guilt of mankind, and that's where Jesus Christ comes in, and the price that he paid, the debt, how he paid the debt for our sins on the cross when he died, and he was lifted up to die in sight of the whole congregation. And so there. We can come to him in repentance and faith, and our guilt can be removed, that we can be a part of that mercy and forgiveness that God is offering there. I think that's where we'll end for this morning. Wish you the Lord's blessings.